We're in town for the occasion of Kate Lochte's retirement as manager here at WKMS. And I'm George Eldred, and with me is David Fleming and Andy the Jazz Man Smith. And this is a good time for us to just shoot the breeze a little bit and tell lies and tall tales and fish stories and I don't know what all.
Be careful, they weren't all ties.
Anyway. Lies. Okay, David, you engineered Andy for a long time before I took over. I think I took over in like 2005.
Yeah, something like, yeah.
It was back before Colonel Tom died.
Dr. Bob was with me for a year.
During the brief time, about a year and a half or so, that I was away from WKMS in another part of the States. We had a few other people doing that, but actually I was there from the very beginning when Andy and Terry Bryan and Grady Kirkpatrick were in contact with each other, and they all found out. Andy used to do a radio program. I think it was Jackson?
Knoxville.
Okay, Knoxville, yeah. And so anyway, so Andy sent a copy of the tape up. Grady had me work with him, and it was as simple as that. And then we wanted to develop a show, and we didn't know what to call it. So it was just, hey, the Jazzman Show. Why not? Plain and simple. And it stuck. And so I don't know how many years now this is. It started, I don't know when the first one was, like 96, maybe 97.
Andy, you've been calling it 20 years now.
It's probably 19 to 20.
Okay.
Maybe I may be 4 months off, but basically it's pretty close.
Dare I say it? Close enough for jazz?
Close enough.
Close enough for government work.
And you should know something about government work because you worked for the state of Tennessee for a long
27
time.
27 years. Well, that I retired from the military.
What did you do for him in Tennessee?
He went to see jazz concerts.
Oh, well, silly me.
He's right, but don't tell anybody. No, I worked, one of the things my family involved in was timber valuation for taxes. So I got into that, but it sent me all over the state and then out of state some. So I enjoyed it until I got a new leader in there. And he was looking at, what do you do? What I want to do. And for that, I had a 2-year war with the state. I made it.
You were in Korea in the military.
Yeah, but not after the... Well, the Korean War is still going on.
Yeah.
It's just a truce. Yep, I lived 14 months over there. It changed me a lot. I learned things that this happens on Earth.
Now, wasn't your time in the military also spent finding out that, maybe... Roy Haynes was going to be performing somewhere in Germany, and so you arranged a trip over there. I mean, didn't you do the same thing in the Army that you did for the state of Tennessee, find out where jazz concerts were, and then arrange a business trip?
That's when somebody did an article on me in paper in Korea. Mm-hmm. I was up on the DMZ.
Okay.
I had a few records and everything. I had my mother send me my old cornet, and... my roommate was a pilot, so on a weekend, we got out. And I found out that Louis Armstrong and the All-Stars were going to be played at Walker Hill. That's in Seoul.
Okay.
This is for the brass and senior people and lieutenant colonels and above. Uh-huh. Hell, I'm just a lieutenant. But I determined Louis Armstrong gets this close, I'm going to go see him. So I went out of the motor pool and told the PFC, passing out Jeeps. He says... You love getting trouble, sir. Give me that Jeep. Went down there, got it, got in about 6 the next morning, and just getting ready some sleep I'd taken the next day. Colonel Green wishes to see you immediately. I said, well, okay, here it goes. I don't know what they're going to do to me. So I went in and saluted, stood there. He didn't ask me to sit down. And he worked me over 15 minutes. He said, but I'll tell you something. I'm a real fan of jazz and Louis Armstrong. Get the hell out of my office and don't ever do that again. I was not your typical state employee or Army brat.
And the nice thing, too, if I recall correctly, is that you ended up going to so many jazz concerts while you were with the state of Tennessee. You ended up getting all your frequent flyer miles and then are traveling for free forever.
Oh, yeah. I've got now 370,000.
370,000 frequent flyer miles. Oh, my God. You So what are you going to do to use those? Are you still going to France once a year?
Yeah, but I didn't go this year. I had some sickness, just all kind of dysfunctional things.
Okay.
So I canceled it out, first time in 15 years.
Wow.
It's hard to imagine.
It's the Boogie Woogie Festivals every year.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I made, if I had gone this year, it'd been 42 trips.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Wow. We've had a lot of that music on the air, thanks to Andy going overseas. The Carl Sonny Leyland.
Yeah, I brought him up here.
Trying to think. Philippe
Lejeune. Charlie Booty.
Charlie Booty, Philippe Lejeune.
Yep.
All these wonderful Boogie Woogie greats. And then Charlie Booty, if anybody doesn't know that name, some point they will run across a CD. It's called After Hours with Charlie Booty. And it's Andy's theme song, After Hours. But there's also a song on there called The Jazz Man Special. It's a simple little 3.5-4 minute stride jazz piece.
Yeah,
but
there you go.
It's cool stuff. And it was written for Andy the Jazz Man Smith. I'm pointing him at it right now, but this is radio, so... Anyway, yeah, this is something we've done for a long, long time. Took it very seriously for a long, long time. And also, I think, took a lot of opportunities to crack Andy up just before opening up the microphone.
Oh, you better believe it.
For a long, long time. I've had him to where he was playing, to where he was just, he had tears coming out of his eyes, laughing so hard. And it's because I was telling juvenile jokes before opening up the microphone. He starts cracking up so much. He had tears. And this guy, I don't know, he was 70 at that point. I don't know. But he was squeaking. He was laughing so hard. He was
yeah.
Tears coming out. It was so beautiful. And probably the other biggest one, it was a snafu, if you want to call it that, but it made for a big, big laugh. Andy was dating a woman named Renata. She was a German woman. And so he was trying to learn the language. And so Andy drives up here from the Nashville area to do the Jazz Man show. And he was trying to learn German along the way. Now, CD players, if they're above shoulder level, you can't necessarily see if there's another CD in there before you put it in there. Or if you're just changing things out on the road real quick, you might, it's what's called double stacking, and that's just simply putting one CD on top of another one, and it, in essence, plays the wrong one. So Andy gives this great introduction. I don't know what it was, Thelonious Monk, let's just say. And so here's Thelonious Monk, Thelonious Sphere Monk, with this classic tune of his. It's, you would know this if you watch any Monk documentary. Here's Blue Monk. And we hit play. And all we get, Ich nicht sprechen Sie Deutsch. Mein Gott in Himmel. And again, Andy's reduced to tears. And I think we were still recording on reel-to-reel at that point, which meant we really had to stop a lot of things, back up a lot of things.
I was going to ask you, when did y'all stop doing the reel?
So long ago, we don't remember.
I'm sorry to see Andy go, because Andy, along with Colonel Tom Morgan, were both mentors for me in my early days of jazz. I learned a lot from both of these gentlemen.
Well, tell you what, Andy, you are a past president of the International Jazz Records.
International Society of Jazz Record Collectors.
Have you found that Buddy Bolden cylinder yet?
No, right. But I'm looking.
Yeah.
But I do have some name of that. At our biggest year was about 15 years ago, 2,000 members all over the world. Now we've fallen down to 150.
Wow.
And the trouble is, all the old guys, remember when we started, mm-hmm. they died.
Right.
And everybody left and run around talking to the widow, says, how do I get those reins?
And, jazz isn't as much as the forefront as it used to be, and records are certainly gone, so you don't have as many collectors anymore. That's one of those gradual changes.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I was telling him about Grady, and when I came up to interview.
It's Grady Kirkpatrick that we're talking about here.
When did you come here?
Early 94.
Oh, okay.
On staff, volunteered earlier than that.
So, he said, now, the lady that's been doing a show for 2 years, took over after her husband died,
mm-hmm.
and it's been sweet big band music. That wouldn't do anything for me, but, said, well, I've driven up here, I better give it my... So I did, yeah, we liked that. I slipped, hot jazz in there, and gradually as the weeks went by, I started putting the jazz in. So I learned a lot, too.
Yeah.
It was fun stuff, yeah. It was, who Andy's speaking of, referring to, is Bobby Bryan, and then after that, Terry, who took over after Bobby passed away.
But one of the things I really enjoyed, it was worth all the driving and all that, I made a lot of friends. Yeah. And some of the people would call in, they knew a lot about jazz.
Yeah, yeah. So, you get the people out of the woodwork.
I did something else in those. I don't remember what year. Were you here the year when they did a fundraiser? I was in France, and Kate and I had worked out the time and everything. So we made a pitch to the people in the La Huchette Club, a very famous landmark for jazz. And I went around the place. They were filling up with Euros. Mm-hmm. You know, and I said, don't worry. Just send it here. We'll transfer it.
Nice. The interesting thing was, every time we saw Andy, every other week, we would see Andy, and he would have just finished driving 1,200 miles to go see whatever, you know, whoever. Terry Gibbs was playing in, you know, Tuscaloosa, and so Andy is off to go there. And then, I mean, really, every time I saw him, he had just finished.
Or to buy that record collection.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Finding somebody's jazz record collection and driving off to go see it.
And finding some place to put it.
That's the problem. I'm now getting my estate, will, and all that. I didn't realize how much I'd spent my life collecting. There's 80,000 records.
It was amazing. You walk into Andy's house, and it's just, it's jazz everywhere. The man has always lived, breathed, and ate jazz.
I live the life. Really
cool. There you go. He used to lay in sorghum for Dizzy Gillespie.
The Tennessee Jazz and Blues Society got formed when David Pack, who ran for governor in 1974, and we ended up doing festivals at Vanderbilt University. Dizzy, Stan Kenton, Count Basie, you know, all those. So Dave and I, we were up waiting for him to go on, and Dave said, Dizzy, can we get you something? Are you thirsty? You want a beer? You want a drink? You want a funny little cigarette, you know? I said, oh, man, I mean, we're here in Vanderbilt. He said, no, man. But I want some good old sorghum. He grew up in South Carolina. So David reached out to give me a 20, go down the street, bought a can of sorghum. He came back to Tennessee somewhere for six more times that I know of. And every time, I'd go up and present him with a can of sorghum. He was a cat.